Warren is planning on running on the Democratic side of the aisle in the 2020 presidential elections. Today, President Trump was asked before heading to Florida what he thought about Warren as a candidate.
I hope she's running for president because I think she'd be very easy. I hope that she is running. I do not think she'd be difficult at all. She'll destroy the country. She'll make our country into Venezuela. With that being said, I don't want to say bad things about her because I hope she would be one of the people that would get through the process. It's going to be a long process for the Democrats.
The president was then asked about Sears filing for Chapter 11 bankruptcy.
And it's very sad what happened. Very, very sad. When you look at that whole filing that they did last night, to me it's very sad. Somebody that is of my generation. Roebuck was a big deal. So it's very sad to see.
Mr. President, why do you believe
and I will say, with that being said, I would imagine some of those great sites that Sears has, they really have some great sites, will be put to good use. It'll be a lot of jobs. Sears has been dying for many years. It's been obviously improperly run for many years, and it's a shame.
For USA Radio News, I'm Tim Berg.
USA Radio News.
Monday, President Trump and First Lady Melania Trump got a first-hand look at the damage caused by Hurricane Michael in Florida and Georgia. The president earlier today with Republican Governor Rick Scott of Florida.
I've never looked behind you. I mean, these massive trees are just ripped out of the earth. We've seen mostly water, and water can be very damaging and horrible and scary, you know, when you see water rising 14, 15 feet, but nobody's seen anything like this.
President Trump, this is
really incredible.
The Saudi government is considering issuing a statement saying rogue operatives killed the Washington Post reporter during an interrogation gone wrong. It's unclear if and when the statement will be released, as Secretary of State Mike Pompeo is currently en route to Saudi Arabia to meet with the king. AT&T is working to restore service after a lightning strike started an electrical fire at one of its facilities in Dallas, Texas. You're listening to USA Radio News.
An official message from Medicare. Open enrollment ends soon.
So now's the time to be open-minded.
Look at everything, like prescription drug plans and Medicare Advantage plans from private insurers.
Why? Because plans change. So can your health needs.
I found lower costs and extra benefits and saved money.
Open to something better? Visit Medicare.gov or call 1-800-MEDICARE today.
Open enrollment ends December 7th.
Paid for by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
With a recession ending, if you've been putting off building your business, now is the time to act. General Steel will meet or beat any price on a pre-engineered steel building of the same size and specifications. Act now before steel prices go up. So call us today for free information.
Call 800-965-1290. 800-965-1290. 800-965-1290.
Don't fear technology. Use it, understand it, and embrace it. The mission of Tech Today is to demystify technology. I'm your host, Chris Bianco, principal of Blue Panther Business Partners. Every Tuesday morning from 10 to 11, we will cover new apps, buying advice, technology news, and answer your questions. Good day, and join me on Tech Today on HuntertonChamberRadio.com.
Here's the weather for your next few days. A weak cool front will approach the area today. On and off showers will be with us, meaning there will be dry times and it'll be milder. A ridge of high pressure will work in from the Midwest Tuesday and Wednesday. Readings will be around 5 degrees below the average of the mid-60s. Later Wednesday, a strong cold front will move through. Although it'll pass the area rain-free, it'll supply the coldest air of the season so far Wednesday night and Thursday. It looks like autumn wants to stick around. Monday, it's mostly cloudy with on and off showers, milder highs in the mid to upper 60s, southwest winds at 8 to 12 miles per hour. Tonight, showers this evening, otherwise becoming partly cloudy late. Lows around 50 in the city, 40s around here. Tuesday, partly sunny, cooler, highs in the upper 50. And Wednesday, it's going to be partly sunny and cool again, highs around 60.
Bye.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, WHCR, DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org.
Welcome to Girl Boss with Devin LeCompte and Deb Hill filling in for Brooke Sellis for the season. We are women on a mission to help Hunterdon County businesses be found by residents and visitors alike, encouraging our county to thrive. We provide a positive space to spotlight women as a driving and empowered business force in our county and help other women learn about owning or leading their own businesses through penetrating and sometimes humorous discussions. We are here to answer your burning questions about being a girl boss.
Hello, Deb. Happy Monday.
Thank you, Devin. You as well. Did you have a good weekend?
I had a great weekend. It was a busy weekend. We had our big community service event on Saturday. That was we picked over 1,000 pounds of apples to donate to local food pantries and shelters in the Hunterdon, Warren, and Somerset areas. So it was very successful. We were very happy about that.
That was over at Valley Crest.
It was. Yep, yes. At Valley Crest over on Allerton Road in Clinton Township. They were very nice to let us come in. We had about, despite the weather, we still had about 25 people show up, and everyone was just in great spirits out there picking apples. And then we went through and sorted them because they only try to give the best of the crop away, as opposed to the little guys or the rotted ones. So we had our volunteers go through and sort all of them out. And when we were all said and done, it was about over 1,000 pounds.
Wow, so, cool. You know what? Next year, I'm going to get my acroyogi friends to go out there and pick apples with all sorts of fun ways they do it.
Yeah,
you know?
We had a professional photographer come out, so there's some great photos and everything. But
great photo op.
Very eventful weekend. Some fresh pressed cider too, which was
a hit. That's always good.
Mm-hmm, absolutely.
Very yummy.
But so today is a awesome day here on the Girl Boss Network. We have a very dear friend of my family's with us, Helen Davis Chaitman. Mm. She is a Kingwood Township local, but you don't necessarily commute to New York, but you spend your work days, I guess, in the city.
I do.
Do you want to tell us a little bit about yourself and why you're here, what you do, who you are?
Sure. I'm a trial lawyer. I've been practicing law since 1976, and the area in which I have specialized is litigation involving financial institutions. In the 1980s, all of a sudden, courts started coming down with decisions holding that banks had breached obligations they had to borrowers, which was considered un-American. The idea that a bank could be liable to a borrower was just inconceivable. But in fact, banks had routinely violated loan agreements and been dishonest with their borrowers, and the courts were reacting to these situations by entering judgments against financial institutions. And then that set in motion a series of statutes passed by state legislatures, which of course were influenced by money paid to lobbyists by banks, which narrowed the areas of liability that banks could suffer. And we can now fast forward to the present time when the courts are dead set against ruling in favor of borrowers and against financial institutions, no matter what the facts are. It's very, very difficult for anyone to win against a financial institution. And I can take one example, the Bernie Madoff fraud, which if your viewers, if your listeners may remember, Bernie Madoff confessed on December 11th, 2008, to operating a fraudulent scheme, and he had investment advisory customers whose statements showed that they had assets of $64.8 billion. That's with a B. And he essentially had about $1 billion to pay all of these customers.
And that was horrible.
The bankruptcy court appointed a trustee, Irving Picard, who, among other things, sued JPMorgan Chase, which was the financial institution that had accommodated Madoff's investment advisory business for over 20 years. And Irving Picard went through a lot of documents which indicated that J.P. Morgan Chase knew all along that Madoff was committing illegal acts. And at one point, they increased the fees that he had to pay the bank rather than telling him that they wouldn't continue to do business with him.
Wow.
And so the Madoff trustee sued J.P. Morgan Chase seeking to recover the damages caused by the fraud, which the trustee's theory was that the bank was in a position to have prevented that fraud from continuing.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And the courts in New York, in federal court, threw it out, saying that Irving Picard didn't have standing to sue J.P. Morgan Chase, only the individual customers did. So then I filed suit on behalf of the individual customers, and that suit was thrown out for all kinds of technical reasons. So essentially what the courts have said is that nobody has a claim against J.P. Morgan Chase to recover for J.P. Morgan Chase's knowing complicity with Bernie Madoff over a 20-year period.
So they got not even a slap on the hand for this.
The government entered into a deferred prosecution agreement with J.P. Morgan Chase. J.P. Morgan Chase admitted to two felonies, and they paid $1.9 billion as a fine.
Okay, but where's the rest of the money for...
Right. They didn't disclose how much money they made from the illegal activity. And they basically got a complete release of liability. So they've never accounted for the amount of money that they actually made, or they've never accounted to the customers who were the victims of the fraud.
Wow. So they don't have to answer to anybody for their... There was no... I don't even know how to say this. How do you say this? When your own legal system doesn't even hold accountable our financial system, that's... who do you trust?
That's exactly what the problem is. The one thing that you know for sure is that you can't trust a major bank, because J.P. Morgan Chase has pled guilty to several felonies in the last 5 years. They've pled guilty to criminal conspiracies to fix rates. All of the major financial institutions have pled guilty in the last 5 years to criminal violations of the antitrust laws, where they get together and they'll fix LIBOR, L-I-B-O-R, mm-hmm. which is the interest rate to which most loan agreements are pegged.
Right.
And people, just this week, some bankers who are on trial for this have admitted that they had chat rooms, J.P. Morgan Chase, Citibank, Morgan Stanley, Goldman Sachs, representatives of each of these institutions would have chat rooms, and they would say, well, please fix the rate at such and such because I have a big deal in the bank and I want to make money on it.
And now that's not legal, correct?
This is all criminal.
Yes, okay. They cannot work together to fix rates.
Right.
But they do it behind closed doors.
They do it.
Of course, and on the golf course.
They did it with respect to LIBOR, and they did it with respect to the foreign exchange markets. Now, just think about the foreign exchange markets. This is a $7 trillion a day market. Wow. And they can invest in foreign currencies knowing that they can mm-hmm. fix the rates. So that's a pretty profitable business.
Right? Absolutely. And individuals that would attempt to do that would be very heavily prosecuted.
Well, you would think so, but it doesn't really happen that way. What's happened, if you look historically, there have been prosecutions with respect to LIBOR, but primarily because the crime arose in England, and the English are much more diligent okay. about prosecuting crimes than the Americans are. So most of the litigation has arisen in England. In the United States, the Department of Justice, starting with Eric Holder, He was the one who said, well, yes, the banks committed a lot of criminal acts which brought about the 2008 global financial collapse, but these institutions are too big to fail.
Mm-hmm.
Well, just think about that. In other words, J.P. Morgan Chase commits a felony which deprives individual customers of the bank of millions of dollars, and J.P. Morgan Chase is not going to survive if five people who committed that crime are put in jail? It makes no sense.
But the money is too intertwined in our system.
That's exactly right.
Yeah.
That's exactly
so
right.
So a lot of us would suffer for these five people's actions.
That's exactly
it's
right.
Five,
and
whatever,
the government
you know,
will not protect
people,
you.
But yeah, we're not protected.
Exactly.
So our investments are protected only through the institutions
through
up
the
to
banks.
The FDIC, right? The
$250,000. This is the problem. We really live in an era where everyone is on her own. You can't assume if you deal with J.P. Morgan Chase that you're dealing with an honest banker. In fact, you can safely assume if you deal with J.P. Morgan Chase that they will cheat you every way they possibly can.
That's awesome.
J.P. Morgan Chase just pled guilty in the last few months to essentially stealing money from their investment advisory customers, their high net worth customers. These are customers who entrusted the bank with tens of millions of dollars. And what J.P. Morgan Chase did was, it would just as a typical example, let's say that you entrusted the bank with a portfolio of $10 million of Fortune 100 company stocks.
Mm-hmm.
They would sell that portfolio, and they would invest all of your money in offshore investments where they got secret kickbacks from the investment company. And there would be losses in the investment, but they would make money on the fees. And they've actually pled guilty to this, so there's no dispute about the facts. And they've been required now to send notices to their customers about this. But, you know, the problem is we all get notices galore in little tiny print.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, they make it difficult to read, and you want to throw it away on purpose. I know that.
Nobody can understand it.
Mm-hmm. Right. Legalese.
Right.
It's just terrible. And I hate when it turns out you get 53 cents of the whole thing. I don't
right.
know how it comes out that the individual gets, like, you know, such a small pittance of money when they have so many billions of dollars that they're supposed to spread out, you know?
Well, we're going to step off to a commercial break real quick. But when we get back, we'll talk more about how what you can do to protect yourself from being caught in something like this. So we'll be back in 2 minutes.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com, brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Are you struggling to find the right person to stay in a critical role in your company? Trying to attract and retain millennials? Retail Personnel is your staffing solution. Located in Lebanon, New Jersey, Regional Personnel is an ASA-certified, privately held staffing and recruiting firm providing you with everything from temporary to permanent employees. As ASA-certified professionals, we employ the latest tools and techniques to find, screen, and present to you the best talent that fits your needs. The result? Access to top talent in the shortest time with the lowest chance of turnover. We guarantee it. So call Regional today at 908-534-8113 or visit us on the web at regionalpersonnel.com.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, WHCR-DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. Advancing Hunterdon is an ever-sharp focus on the growth and prosperity of Hunterdon County's businesses. Advancing Hunterdon engages businesses within and throughout the county that are responsive to a call to action as the next chapter in business success. If your business and organization wants to get engaged, contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. Advancing Hunterdon, a roadmap for economic growth for the business community of Hunterdon.
And we're back. You're listening to Girl Boss with Devin LeCompte and Deb Hill filling in for Brooke Sellis, two wild and crazy ladies who are navigating the corporate world as leading ladies, also known as being the boss. And today we're talking with Helen Shaitman.
Yes.
And we were going to ask her some questions about
how to protect yourself from financial fraud.
Yeah, I was going to say who to trust.
There you go.
We need to know that.
And who
too.
To trust.
Yeah.
Right. That's a $64,000 question. I would say that the safest thing to do is to stay away from large financial institutions because the people in the last 5 years would ask me, what bank can I trust? And I'd say, well, you can't trust J.P. Morgan Chase. They've pled guilty to several felonies in the last 5 years. You can't trust Morgan Stanley. You can't trust Goldman Sachs. You can't trust Citigroup. You can't trust Bank of America. They've all pled guilty to major felonies in the last 5 years. And then people would say, well, what about Wells Fargo? And I'd say, Wells Fargo has not pled guilty to any crimes. And then lo and behold, look what happened. Wells Fargo has taken a different path. It hasn't joined the conspiracies that these other financial institutions have participated in, but it's actually committed massive crimes. So I don't see how you can avoid the conclusion that large financial institutions have lost their way. They are immoral, criminalized institutions. And I think the important thing to realize is that with every crime to which they admit guilt, nobody is fired, nobody is prosecuted. So what happens is when Bank of America or Goldman Sachs or Morgan Stanley or J.P. Morgan Chase or Citigroup pleads guilty to some felony, they just move the people who committed that crime into another area and they figure out a new way to commit a crime. And
Helen, what depicts a large institution? Because we have some banks here, that might be publicly traded, but I consider them local. At what point do they cross that border, in your opinion?
Well, the criminal prosecutions that I'm referring to have only been against the mega banks, the ones I've mentioned.
Yeah, okay.
So if you're not dealing with Goldman Sachs, J.P. Morgan Chase, Bank of America,
Wells.
Citigroup,
mm-hmm.
Wells. I think if you're at a more local level, the fact that it's a public company, all banks, mm-hmm. practically all banks are public companies. But I just think if you work at a lower level, I think it's more likely that people will not be involved in criminal conduct. There's no guarantee, and you have to be diligent. And it's very hard because nobody has the capacity. I'm a lawyer. I don't have the capacity mm-hmm. to read a 30-page single space agreement, on a car loan. I just don't bother reading it.
Yeah, that would take a long time.
Yeah. None of this is fashioned so that people understand what they're getting involved with. But the sad thing is, for example, with J.P. Morgan Chase, they do business with 50% of the people in the United States, whether it's a car loan, a credit card, a home mortgage. And I suspect, and I have good reason to suspect, that they cheat every single one of those people. And so the safest advice I can give people is just stay away from the major financial institutions. If a financial institution has pled guilty to a federal crime within the last 5 years, you don't need to give them your business. Let's start with someone with a clean slate. Start with a bank that hasn't pled guilty to a major crime. You're much better off.
There are plenty of banks out there
that have not pled guilty to major crimes.
We can investigate, right?
Yes. Okay. Yes.
Again, there are some great banks here locally. We're trying to get one of them on the show in the next few weeks so she can talk about it from the other aspect of it.
Great. Also, we've got the credit unions locally, different ones. That's another option, which is not a, quote, bank.
Right. Right.
So what else can you do? Let's say you have a couple million dollars tied up with one of these top-tier institutions. What do I do now?
You if you've taken money and invested it with, okay, then what you want to do is you want to pull the money out of a major institution.
Just done.
Just take it out and move it. And you don't have to liquidate securities positions. You can just transfer those positions to a smaller institution.
Oh, I didn't realize that.
Yeah. So, yeah, because if you sell it, then you trigger a capital gains tax, whereas mm-hmm. if you just transfer the funds to another institution, you can do that. With respect to, you know, the investments, there are some firms that have a strong reputation and, to my knowledge, have never been known to commit crimes. I mm-hmm. think that Vanguard and Fidelity have, so far as I know, they have clean records. Maybe not, but so far as I know, they do. And they charge lower fees, and they're more transparent about the fees that they charge. Mm-hmm. So I think that that's a safer place. But the other thing, the other advice that I give people is don't put all your money in one basket. There's really no reason, no matter how much money you have, spread it around. Have some at Vanguard, have some at Fidelity. There's no reason to keep it all in one place.
And what's the benefit of doing that?
It just diversifies the risk mm-hmm. because Bear Stearns went under, Lehman Brothers went under. There's no assurance that we won't have another financial collapse of the same dimension because nothing has been done in Congress to protect against the banks abusing their financial power and bringing us to the same place over again.
Absolutely. Now, where... with a lot of these large institutions, where are they getting, is it fees that they're being able to pull the money out from? Just in bank fees and?
Well, they charge investment fees. Mm-hmm. But, you know, if you give JPMorgan Chase $1 million to invest for you, you don't really know. They'll put money in an offshore fund. You don't know that they're getting a kickback. Let's say you invest $100,000 in that fund.
Absolutely.
You don't know whether they're getting a kickback. You don't know of the money that that fund actually earns, how much is actually being earned and how much is being skimmed off the top.
Mm-hmm.
And the problem is that JPMorgan Chase has admitted to a situation where they were earning 8% on the client's money and the client was losing 2% a year. So
oh my goodness.
That was a 10% loss to the client.
Oh,
and they were doing this to their best customers.
Holy cow.
Yeah. So
many of the Madoff victims, did they put all of their money in with him? And so...
Yes.
Everything. Is that one of the things that occurred? Or?
Bernie Madoff had been in business since the 1960s. Mm-hmm. And generations of people, grandparents, parents, and their children, had invested with Madoff. And he had always proven to be completely responsible and completely reliable. The SEC had come out publicly at a certain point when there was some question about some transactions that Madoff was involved with, and they had come out publicly with a statement that he was completely clean. They had fully investigated it, and he was completely clean. Now, that turned out to be untrue, which is a problem for the public, because if the SEC says something, the average person in this country would assume that it's accurate.
Right.
But this also goes into the category of you can't trust anybody, because it turned out the SEC didn't know what they were talking about.
And why is that? I mean, how deeply did they investigate if they did not discover
it? It turned out
this?
They didn't investigate at all.
Oh, okay.
It turned out they didn't investigate at all, and Madoff pulled the wool over their eyes. Madoff was an expert in securities law, and in fact, he advised many SEC commissioners on the law. So they were beholden to him. And if he said something, they just believed him.
They just believed him, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. So, okay, so diversification of our money is one thing, and using local banks is something that you would say we could do, right? And who do we trust to advise us at this point? If we, like, I need help with my portfolio. I don't know where's a good place to put my money. And honestly, I don't have time to look into it, so I trust a financial advisor to help me. How do we know who we can trust with that kind of information?
Well, you know, it's very hard because when people are swindled, They're very often swindled by people they trust.
Right. That's why I'm a little concerned, you know?
I mean, a lot of the Madoff victims were people who knew Bernie Madoff for years. They were members of his country club. They played golf with him. They thought he was like an uncle.
Right.
And he was, until it turned out that he had stolen all their money.
Wow.
So, you know, there's no comfortable answer to this, unfortunately. You just have to try to be as diligent as you can, but the best defense, I think, is diversification, because if you're dealing with different investment advisors and different institutions, it doesn't seem practical when you're not dealing with a huge amount of money. But on the other hand, whatever amount of money it is, it's your money. It's all you've got for your retirement. And so you want to, you know, even if you have to pay someone for advice, you know, it's worth paying someone just for the advice. What do you think of this portfolio? It's been recommended to me. What do you think?
Right.
It's just worth that extra step.
Yes, yeah, so like a doctor, you always like to get
a second opinion. Exactly.
Is this safe? Can we trust this?
Exactly. And very often a second doctor will come up with a different diagnosis, which will turn out to be right.
So do we move some of our funds? Well, there's gold and minerals and other things out there. Is that something that you would recommend that we start putting more of our money into?
You know, if you look at the numbers on how much money people lose in investments, it's truly shocking.
Yeah.
And everybody works so hard for the money that they invest. I mean, when you're investing money, you've paid taxes on it. So the government's your partner getting 30 or 40% of it. And then what's left is invested. And there's always the dream that you're going to win the lottery.
Right.
Well, you're better off buying a lottery ticket, which I'm not recommending. But I'd rather see people buy an occasional lottery ticket.
Don't tell my mom that.
Okay. Then gamble with their retirement funds.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's for sure. So you consider the gold and silver more of a risk or less of a risk? Or
you
don't really know it?
I'm not expert on any of
these.
You're
not necessarily the financial advisor.
Yeah.
You're more of the attorney. We're going to, it's 5:30 now, so we do have to stop off for our news break. But we will be right back after the news and the weather. Excuse us.
USA Radio News.
Monday, President Trump and First Lady Melania Trump got a firsthand look at the damage caused by Hurricane Michael in Florida and Georgia. The president earlier today with Republican Governor Rick Scott of Florida.
I've never looked behind you. I mean, these massive trees are just ripped out of the earth. We've seen mostly water, and water can be very damaging and horrible and scary, you know, when you see water rising 14, 15 feet, but nobody's seen anything like this. This is really incredible.
The Saudi government is considering issuing a statement saying rogue operatives killed the Washington Post reporter during an interrogation gone wrong. It's unclear if and when the statement will be released, as Secretary of State Mike Pompeo is currently en route to Saudi Arabia to meet with the king. AT&T is working to restore service after a lightning strike started an electrical fire at one of its facilities in Dallas, Texas. You're listening to USA Radio News.
An official message from Medicare. Open enrollment ends soon.
So now's the time to be open-minded.
Look at everything, like prescription drug plans and Medicare Advantage plans from private insurers.
Why? Because plans change. So can your health needs.
I found lower costs and extra benefits and saved money.
Open to something better? Visit Medicare.gov or call 1-800-MEDICARE today.
Open enrollment ends December 7th.
Paid for by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
This flu season, one Walgreens flu shot can make a world of difference. So you can protect yourself and also your close-talking coworkers,
help, please,
high-fiving neighbors, two-month-old niece. That's why Walgreens has specially trained pharmacists that have provided over 60 million flu shots since 2010. Stop by for your flu shot today with a $0 copay with most insurance. Because protecting the world starts with protecting yours. Walgreens. Trusted since 1901. Vaccine subject to availability. State, age, and health-related restrictions may apply.
An Idaho Fish and Game Commissioner is getting calls to resign after a hunting trip to Africa last month. USA Radio Network's Chris Barnes explains.
The calls are coming in after he brags of killing more than a dozen animals during that hunting trip to Africa last month. In an email to more than 100 people, Blake Fisher included photos of himself with dead animals, including a giraffe, leopard, and four baboons. Fisher wrote that his wife, quote, wanted to watch me and get a feel for Africa, so I shot a whole family of baboons. I think she got the idea quick, end quote. Idaho Governor Butch Otter's spokesman says he's concerned and his office is actively looking into the matter. For USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
Final look at your numbers on Wall Street for this Monday. The Dow was down 89 points to close the day at 25,250. Also, oil was up to $71.63 a barrel. You're listening to USA Radio News.
The following update is for drivers who pay too much for car insurance due to DUIs, DWIs, tickets, or anything else. Our company specializes in low-cost SR22 auto insurance. We know that mistakes happen and offer free quotes for very affordable auto insurance meant specifically for you, the overpaying high-risk driver. The quote is free and we'll handle the filing so you can start saving money. Call 800-758-0725. 800-758-0725. 800-758-0725.
Democratic Senator Elizabeth Warren of Massachusetts released the results of a DNA test showing evidence that she may have Native American ancestry dating back several generations. The results show that Warren is either 1/32nd Native American or 1/512th Native American. Many folks in Washington, D.C. are speculating that this was done because Warren is planning on running on the Democratic side of the aisle in the 2020 presidential elections. Today, President Trump was asked before heading to Florida what he thought about Warren as a candidate.
I hope she's running for president because I think she'd be very easy. I hope that she is running. I do not think she'd be difficult at all. She'll destroy the country. She'll make our country into Venezuela. With that being said, I don't want to say bad things about her because I hope she would be one of the people that would get through the process. It's going to be a long process for the Democrats.
The president was then asked about Sears filing for Chapter 11 bankruptcy.
And it's very sad what happened. Very, very sad. When you look at that whole filing that they did last night, to me it's very sad. Somebody that is of my generation. Roebuck was a big deal. So it's very sad to see.
Mr. President, why do you believe...
And I will say, with that being said, I would imagine some of those great sites that Sears has, they really have some great sites, will be put to good use. It'll be a lot of jobs. Sears has been dying for many years. It's been obviously improperly run for many years, and it's a shame.
For USA Radio News, I'm Tim Berg.
The weather for this week, Monday, mostly cloudy with on and off showers, and it's going to be milder. Highs in the mid to upper 60s with southwest winds at 8 to 12 miles per hour. Tonight, showers, otherwise becoming partly cloudy late. Lows around 50 degrees in the city and 40 degrees around here. Southwest to northwest wind increasing 10 to 20 miles an hour. Tuesday, we can expect it to be partly sunny and cooler, highs only reaching the upper 50s. And Wednesday, partly sunny and cool again, but we get to have highs reach around 60.
Stars. Yeah, we'll be counting stars.
Welcome back to Girl Boss with me and my co-host, Devin. Today we're talking all things banking and financial institutions with Helen Chapman.
There you go. So welcome back. Yes, we're here with Helen Davis Chapman. She is the litigation attorney for the Madoff case back in 2008?
I've been representing some of the investors.
Okay.
The investors in Bernard Almeida Investment Securities, LLC.
Okay. And I think the biggest takeaway so far is your suggestion to stay away from large financial institutions in order to keep yourself safe, right?
Right.
I recently read a book that was actually authored by you. When I say recently, I'm going to say that was probably a year or two ago. But you're a published author as well, aren't you, Helen?
I am. As a result of my involvement in the Madoff case, I became intrigued by Madoff's relationship with J.P. Morgan Chase, and I wrote a book called J.P. Madoff, The Unholy Alliance Between America's Biggest Bank and America's Biggest Crook. And in the book, I lay out the relationship between J.P. Morgan Chase and Madoff and talk about how we got to where we are. And essentially, I think for your listeners, the takeaway is that, as I have already said, the major financial institutions are operated like criminalized institutions. That, and I have one chapter where I compare Jamie Dimon to one of the mobsters, because there really isn't that much difference between the way organized crime is run and the way the financial institutions are run. And, you know, just in the last 6 years, J.P. Morgan Chase has paid out over $40 billion in fees and in penalties and fines for having violated the law. So $40 billion is a lot of money.
That's amazing.
And that doesn't represent how much they made from the criminal activity. It's simply what the government assessed them in fines. And that covers a span of different aspects of their banking business. And I could have written that same book about Goldman Sachs, about Citigroup, about Bank of America, and certainly now about Wells Fargo. So, again, the moral is to stay away from the major financial institutions because they're way ahead of you.
Well, the book, is that just a synopsis of, is that a synopsis of your dealings within this?
No, it doesn't deal, it deals with J.P. Morgan Chase's relationship with Bernie Madoff.
Strictly that, not,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. And where can people get that book if they're interested in learning more about that relationship?
I have a website called jpmadoff.com.
Wow.
And it's on the website. You can order it on the website or you can order it through Amazon.
Perfect. Okay. And how did you get involved? So I have two questions that are vastly different, actually. 10 years later, what's going on now? Let's start with that one.
Sure. So it is 10 years. Madoff confessed on December 11th, 2008. And we're now close to December 2018. And what's happened is that the trustee who was appointed for the liquidation of Madoff's company has paid out claims that he's allowed about 50 cents on the dollar. And at the same time, the Madoff trustee has become richer than Madoff because his law firm has been paid over $1 billion in legal fees, which he personally gets 20%. So
how can that happen?
Well,
this is his job.
This is the court system. The court system allows it to continue, and the court approves his fees. So it just goes on and on. And the way the Hague case is being handled now, I think that in certainly in 5 years, but possibly even in 10 years, we'll still be talking about the case because it will still be going on. The trustee has brought litigations against over 1,000 people and institutions, and in some instances, he's alleged that people knowingly invested with Madoff with knowledge that he was committing crimes.
Mm-hmm.
Most of those cases have been thrown out of court. He's also sued innocent customers like my clients who put their life savings in Madoff, and they invested with Madoff over a period of 20 or 30 years. And if you didn't matter what you put your money in the stock market over 20 and 30 years, it would have appreciated in value. So
yes.
Let's take the example of someone who's 90 years old now and had an IRA account with Madoff. They would have put in mandatory contributions every year.
Right.
And then when they got to be 70 and a half, they would have to take mm-hmm. out mandatory withdrawals. Well, as they got older, they took out, certainly by the time they were 90, they took out more money than they had invested. But that's the whole idea of an IRA. But the trustee is suing these people, asking them to pay back the amount they took out in excess of what they put in.
And to even respond to the suit is going to cost them money that they don't have because they don't have the money
exactly.
to begin with.
Exactly. So these people have, number one, lost their life savings, and number two, they've been sued by the trustee, and they're forced to defend themselves, and you know, they have so little left compared to what they had before. These are people who worked hard their whole lives.
Right.
And put money away for their retirement, pursuant to a federal statute.
Right.
Which encouraged them to do this and required them to take the withdrawals. And bear in mind that when you take an IRA withdrawal, let's say you take out $50,000, you have to pay $25,000 to the federal government in taxes.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Because you haven't been paying taxes on the appreciation. So now Irving Picard is suing you for the full $50,000 you took out, even though $25,000 of
it's already gone
for each year went to the government.
Oh.
So the trustee is torturing the lives of these people who did nothing wrong, but trusted the SEC. Madoff was an SEC regulated broker, and the SEC not only vouched for Madoff, but allowed him to continue operating for so many years, and yet they have no liability.
I was just going to say, it seems to me, and I thought this at the time, that the SEC should be chastised somehow for this, or somehow brought to, brought on the carpet for their actions in this whole deal.
There's a statute called the Federal Tort Claims Act, which makes a governmental agency liable for negligence. And I sued on behalf of the Madoff customers. Mm-hmm. I sued the SEC alleging that they should be liable to the customers, and that got thrown out.
Why?
As a practical matter, it got thrown out because the court did not want to set a precedent where the government could be liable to someone who invested in the stock market.
But their own law, the government's own law,
exactly. That's exactly right. But you see, judges interpret the law. So unless the statute had said you can sue the SEC for this particular negligence, the court feels it has the liberty to interpret it in a way that's consistent with the way the judges are comfortable. And so the judicial remedies are always limited by what the specific judges involved in a case feel is appropriate.
And this went up to the...
It went to the Third Circuit. It went to the Third Circuit Court of Appeals.
And that's where it had to end, huh?
Yes.
Oh, geez.
Well, we applied for cert. We applied for Supreme Court review, but we didn't get it.
All right, guys. I am getting yelled at. We have to go to our next commercial break. So we'll be back in 2 minutes.
One of the biggest decisions in your lifetime is buying or selling a house. Choosing a realtor with strong client communication, technology, and marketing skills will dramatically improve your chance of success. That's why Hunterdon and Somerset's residents rely on Joe Peters. Joe believes his clients deserve a smooth and seamless experience, not a roller coaster ride. As a Coldwell Banker sales associate with 20 years of experience, he's helped hundreds of people to achieve their goals and dreams, no matter where they were in the buying or selling process. Joe accomplishes this by approaching every transaction from a business perspective. Initially, he tries to fully understand your goals and dreams and make them his own. Then, understandable action points. And finally, he controls the entire process through technology and marketing. The end result to you is a smooth, rewarding customer experience. Let Joe show you how to take his professional expertise and put it to work for you. To contact Joe, go to jpeters.com or call 908-238-0118.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com, brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Are you struggling to find the right person to stay in that critical role in your company? Trying to attract and retain millennials? Retail personnel is your staffing solution. located in Lebanon, New Jersey, Regional Personnel is an ASA-certified, privately held staffing and recruiting firm providing you with everything from temporary to permanent employees. As ASA-certified professionals, we employ the latest tools and techniques to find, screen, and present to you the best talent that fits your needs. The result? Access to top talent in the shortest time with the lowest chance of turnover. We guarantee it. So call Regional today at 908-534-8113 or visit us on the web at regionalpersonnel.com.
Everybody over there!
Get on up!
Everybody out there!
Get into it!
Everybody right there!
Get involved!
Everybody, you!
Did you know? The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce has over 20 active committees that you can participate in. Committees range from focus on business and government to economic development to events like our annual business expo. Contact the Chamber for more information today at 908-782-7115 or email us at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Okay, we're back. You're listening to Girl Boss with Devin LeCompte and me, Deb Hill. And we are talking with Helen Chaitman about financial issues in the world today, in America today. And our we wanted to find out a couple more things about Helen.
I want to know about Helen. So, yeah. Helen, how did you get hooked up with all of this?
I mean, that's... Well, I have a cousin who was the only man in my family that wasn't a lawyer. We were a family
wow.
of lawyers.
Okay.
And I had one cousin who became a businessman. He went to Wharton, and then when he graduated, he started his own business, and he ultimately sold that business for $500 million. So in our family, this guy was considered a business genius. And after he sold his business, he took me out to lunch, and he said to me, "You have to put your money in Madoff. It's the best investment I ever made."
Oh.
And because he was the family genius, I took his advice seriously. And he had brought along a whole bunch of information about Madoff, and I read it all, and I did my own research, and I found that the SEC had heavily relied upon Madoff over the decades and had spoken publicly very highly of him.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, well, you know, if my cousin feels that this is such a good investment, maybe he knows something, and this is what I should do with my money. So I put all of my investment assets in Madoff.
Oh, my.
And I did that in 2005, and then, of course, I lost it completely.
Oh, my goodness. At this point in time, were you already practicing financial litigation?
Yes.
As a financial litigation?
Yes.
Okay.
I started practicing in 1976, and I did this in 2000.
So when you were doing your due diligence, I mean, you really knew what you were looking for.
Well, I looked at the statements. My cousin explained to me what the investment strategy was, and I read up on it. I mean, it's easy with the internet to read up on things.
Mm-hmm.
And I found the articles where the SEC had spoken publicly about Madoff and what an outstanding person he was, et cetera. And I knew he'd been in business since 1960, which was impressive in itself.
Mm-hmm.
So December 11th, 2008, I was babysitting for my grandson, and a friend of mine to whom I had confided that I had put my money in Madoff sent me an email saying that Madoff had confessed to operating a Ponzi scheme. And
gosh.
I punched my BlackBerry, and I said, "Very funny, Ken." And he said, "I'm not kidding."
Oh.
And I was at the kitchen sink in my daughter's apartment washing the dishes from my grandson's dinner, and I thought I was going to collapse. I was holding on to the edge of the sink because I couldn't believe that this could have happened.
Oh my gosh.
And it happened at a time when my law practice was in a real lull because December 2008,
yeah.
Bear Stearns had collapsed, Lehman Brothers had filed in bankruptcy. Financial institutions were not spending money on litigation. So my litigation practice had come to virtually a standstill. So I had no income, and I had lost all my savings. And so it wasn't a great situation for me. And it took me about 2 weeks to get myself together. And then I thought, well, I don't have any work to do because my litigations have stopped, so I might as well help other people. And so I began operating a 24-hour hotline for Madoff victims. who just needed advice. It wasn't legal advice. You know, they needed how to, like, I have a valuable Oriental rug. How can I sell it so I can buy food?
Oh, my gosh.
Things like that. So yeah. I was helping Madoff victims, and then I began to think that the best help they could have is if they could get a tax refund for the taxes that they paid on the fictitious income. And I, along with a lot of other people, went down to Washington. I had never been inside any of the congressional office buildings, but I went down and I started lobbying, speaking to senators about the need to clarify the law so that people could get tax refunds. Mm-hmm. And through the work of a lot of people, obviously it wasn't just me, but the IRS clarified the theft loss provision of the Internal Revenue Code so that, and they promised that with Madoff victims, if they sent in the application for the tax refund, they would get back the taxes that they paid on their supposed Madoff income for the last 5 years. And that was a lifesaver.
That was huge.
It was huge for a lot of people because they had, if you had $1 million in Madoff and he was paying 8%, that would have been $80,000 a year. You would have been paying $40,000 a year in taxes because it was mm-hmm. short-term capital gains.
Right.
So for 5 years, that's $200,000. So that was huge for these people.
Oh, that's great.
Because it allowed them to buy food and to gave them the time to restructure their lives to the extent that they could. So I did that, and then gradually I realized that there were other issues that I could help Madoff investors with, and so I've done that over the last 10 years.
Well, that's fantastic. I'm sure there's still a long way to go.
There is, unfortunately.
Unfortunately for us, we're about out of time today, but it's wonderful to hear your story. It's very inspiring, and hopefully, you know, with due time, it'll start to unfold in a more positive light.
But definitely.
Thank you so much for coming on the air and spending an hour with us today.
Oh,
we really appreciate it.
Thank you, Helen. It's quite an honor. Well, thank you all for joining us on Girl Boss today. Whether you're planning a visit to our area or fortunate to live here in the Skylands region of New Jersey, we encourage you to visit these businesses and start one of your own in our area. The world needs that special gift that only you have. Join us as part of the Women Supporting Women movement. We hope you enjoy today's chat. Remember to like us on Facebook at GirlBossHCR and make sure to stay tuned for next week's talk, Monday at 5 p.m., only on Hunterdon County Chamber Radio.
USA Radio News.
President Trump and First Lady Melania Trump arrived aboard Air Force One in Macon, Georgia, to survey the damage left by Hurricane Michael. The president then was asked about Senator Elizabeth Warren's DNA test, which revealed that she is 1/1,000th Native American.
She owes the country an apology. What's the percentage? 1/1,000th?
I don't have the exact number.
Tell me when you have the percentage. Tell me what the percentage
is. What about the money that you told her you would...
You mean if she gets the nomination in a debate where I was going to have her tested? I'll only do it if I can test her personally.
A child in Florida has become the first person to die from the flu this season. That's according to the state health officials. The child who tested positive for influenza B died sometime during the week of September 30th. Dr. Tara Naryula joined CBS this morning.
What this is a strong, clear message to parents about the importance of vaccination.
You're listening to USA Radio News.
An official message from Medicare. Open enrollment ends soon.
So now's the time to be open-minded.
Look at everything, like prescription drug plans and Medicare Advantage plans from private insurers.
Why? Because plans change. So can your health needs.
I found lower costs and extra benefits and saved money.
Open to something better? Visit Medicare.gov or call 1-800-MEDICARE today.
Open enrollment ends December 7th.
Paid for by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
Hi, I'm Wayne Allyn-Root, and through my longtime affiliation with the Libertarian and Republican parties, I've learned a thing or two about how politics and the economy really work. The writing's on the wall. All signs point to a major shift in investing as we know it. If you haven't started buying precious metals, you need to. Call now to order the Wayne Allyn-Root Precious Metals Investors Package, which includes six different silver coins from major mints around the world for only $99. Call 800-885-GOLD. That's 800-885-GOLD. That's 800-885-4653.
Retail sales are slowing, it appears. USA Radio Network's Chris Barnes reports from Washington.
The Commerce Department reporting on Monday morning that retail sales gained just a tenth of a percent in September, the same as in August. Retail analysts were forecasting.